Please turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 4, the first letter of Peter and chapter 4. And I'm reading verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My subject tonight is the deaconship of all believers. All believers are deacons. All believers are servants. The servanthood, if you prefer, of all believers. And this is really what we want to consider tonight. But I go back just in words of introduction to verse 7 of the same chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. My dear friends, knowing that the end of all things is at hand. And remember, when Peter was writing these words to the believers, scattered believers in five provinces of his time, these believers were going through times of great persecution. But remember also that he was writing to them because in less than 10 years, or within 10 years, the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And this is why, from history, we read that believers who have heed, who have understood and grasped the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the believers who understood what Christ said about the invasion of the Romans, most of them were saved because before the Romans came into Jerusalem, they were able to flee and they saved their lives. But in extension, what Peter is speaking about, knowing that the end is near, is for us, especially in this gospel age. So tonight, 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, really the passage gives us a summary, or it sums for us all we need to do in our service for the Lord while we are on this earth. Either we go to the Lord or the Lord comes back very soon. My friends, God equips his people. But you see, God gifting us and equipping us to serve him in this world is not for us to stand before a mirror. That's why we have to say that the gifts God are giving to us are really tools, not toys. Not toys to contemplate, not toys to admire, not toys like a child being selfish and being protective. No, the gifts are given to us as tools to be used, to be exercised. But again, just in words of introduction, as you consult, as you look well at the verses here, there is nothing about speaking in tongues. There is nothing about dreams and visions. There is nothing about prophecies. There is nothing about healing gifts. And actually, with the pandemic today, where are the healers? Have they suddenly disappeared? We don't see them. I wonder, where are they? But the context here, nothing about healing gift, nothing about words of wisdom, nothing about word of knowledge. It's all practical. It's all practical for us as people, as the people of God. There is nothing mystical. There is nothing ecstatic. There is nothing esoteric. But all these things that are mystical, esoteric, and ecstatic are so contrary to the word of God. But another thing I want you to notice as you look at these two verses is that Peter is not even writing to the church officers. He's writing to all believers. Look at it in verse 10. In verse 10, he puts it this way, as every man, meaning every believer, every converted Christian. And then in verse 11, if any man, again, and twice in verse 11, if any man speak, if any man minister. So you can see that Peter is addressing this servanthood ministry, this calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the end is near to all believers. So I have seven very simple headings to put before you. And the first one is that in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. That's the first heading, really. We can put it this way. My brothers and sisters, every believer has received a gift. And actually, the Greek says gifting. It is the mention is about gifting. Every believer has received the gifting, a gifting. Unlike the Old Testament, which means also that every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian. Born again yesterday, born again 60 years ago, every Christian has at least one gift. He has a ministry. And some have more than one gift, but nobody has them all. Every Christian is gifted. You can have seedless fruits. You can have a fruitless tree. But there is no such thing as a seedless Christian or a fruitless Christian or a giftless Christian. It is unscriptural and unbiblical. That's why we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where you can see that at conversion, when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is gifting every one of his children, each one of them individually, at conversion, when he is born again. He is gifted with a gift for a contribution to the body. And that is, I believe, very important. And it is interesting that the word gift there in verse 10 is the word charisma. Meaning what? Every Christian has a charisma. Every Christian. Meaning every Christian has a gift. But interestingly also, in verse 10 there, the writer says, Peter says, not only every Christian has a charisma, but every charisma is also a charis. It is a play of word he's making there. Every charisma is a charis, meaning that every gift is by grace. So whatever gift you have and I have, it is from God and it is by grace. Oh, my dear friends, this is so important. We are saved by grace through faith, gifted by God, by grace, in order to exercise also grace on other people. Oh, gifted by God, that means we become responsible people. We have a duty. We have a responsibility. We are not just calling about our privileges, but every privilege comes with responsibility. That's the first thing. Every believer has a gift. The second thing in the same verse, verse 10, Peter says that all our gifts are directly from God. God has endowed us with gifts in order to serve him, in order to win souls, in order to serve other people. And that's why when you read the word of God, there is nothing to boast about. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, what do you have which you did not receive? And if you have received it, how can you be proud about it? How can you boast about it? How can you glory about it? Oh, there is nothing to glory about because it is a gift. God has made you a gift. It is for every believer, but at the same time, it is directly from him. Not by laying hand, not by a word of wisdom, not by any human organization, but directly from the Lord himself. So which means we do not own the gifts. They are given to us. Oh, my friends, the Godhead, Father, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, all together, saving us. But the Holy Spirit seals us. But Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, gifts every one of his children in order to serve the body. So that's the second thing to put before us tonight. And the third one, still in verse 10, Peter says that as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. Meaning that the gifts God are giving to us are variegated. They are colorful. They are like a rainbow. All spectrum. You cannot just say it's one kind. Many kinds of gifts are given to the Church of Jesus Christ. Like a rainbow. They are diverse. And there are many of them. Multicolored. No one has them all. The most ingenious Christian that has ever existed in this world, the most gifted one, does not have them all. That is why, my dear friends, nobody is all-sufficient. Nobody is self-sufficient. We need one another with all our gifts. And that is so important because if you are self-sufficient, pride is at the door of your life. We need one another. So they are various, they are diverse, the gifts God has given to us, but really nobody has them all. But I want to be practical. How can I know my gift? What kind of gift do I have? My dear friends, your gift is not found in a dream or in a vision. Your gift is not found by a special revelation. Some people, I'm sure, if I may say, in their foolish way, they say, God has revealed it to me. He has revealed that this is, and sometimes they will even say, oh, my gift is this. God has said it to me. Where did God have said it to you? There is no such thing in the Word of God. But our gift also, we do not recognize it or we do not find it, but just opening the Bible at random. You know, some people do that also. They just open the Bible and God, they feel, guides them to one verse. Here it is. This is the revelation I had from God. So no idea what they are talking about. How do I know my gift? Or I make it even simpler. Do you know how you can know your gift? What kind of gift that God has given to you? It is simple than you think. I will know my gift by doing. I will know my gift by being active. Oh, you ask me, how can I be active? What does it mean to be active? Please, let us not go anywhere else. Just stick to the context here in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you remember the previous verses, I just take you back to verse 7. And in verse 7, how do I know my gift? The first thing, be sober. Be self-controlled. Be balanced. Be moderate. The second thing is still in that verse, verse 7, Peter says, watch unto prayer. Be watchful, be prayerful. Is prayer practical? Yes, it is practical. Is sobriety practical? Yes, it is practical. Is watchfulness practical? Yes, it is practical. And then he continues in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity. Is that practical? Love certainly is the most practical thing in this world. It is the principal thing. To love one another, because love shall cover the multitude of sins. Then look at verse 9. How can I know my gift? Hands on. I put my hands on, and God will certainly guide me and apply and exercise my gift. In verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And when you continue, how can I know my gift? You have to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I know my gift? In verse 11, I have to say something, but I have to do something also for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is simple. How can I know my gift? I can know it because I'm doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why, no matter how many gifts you have, no matter how special is your gift, no matter how spiritual is your gift, it must be for the benefit of others. I know a pastor, I don't know if I should call him really a pastor. He told me once, I have the gift of speaking in tongues, but I do not teach it in the church. I do not speak in tongue in public, but for my private prayers, I speak in tongue. Oh, my dear friends, that is foolishness. A gift that is not for other people, not to be used for other people, please, if it's just for you, oh, then forget about it. It will ensnare you. Every gift, no matter how special, extraordinary, no matter how spiritual it is given to you and me for the benefit of other people. And this is why it is so important to be serving the Lord, so you will know what kind of gift you have. The complainers, the grumblers, the mourners in any given church, check well. You will see most people who complain in any given church are the people who are not exercising their gift. How they are not exercising their gifts? If I may quote to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, they are not doing those three things. The first thing is to work in faith. The second thing is to labor in love. And the third thing is to wait patiently to the hope of Jesus Christ. Those are the complainers who are not doing those three things. But when you are busy for the Lord, you will not have to complain. So that's the third thing really we see from verse 10. The first one, you remember, every Christian has a gift. The second, every gift is directly from the Lord. The third, there is a diversity of all those gifts and many, manifold grace of God given to us. But the fourth one, even so, in verse 10, Peter says, even so, minister. And the word minister there is the word diaconize. That's why I chose the title, The Deaconship of All Believers. It says there, even so, minister, diaconize, the same one to another. You see, here is the purpose of all gifts, to be a deacon, to serve, to be a servant. That's really the purpose. We are all deacons. We are all good stewards, hopefully. And the word steward there is the word economists. So every Christian is an economist. Every Christian is a servant, but every Christian is a steward. A spiritual gift is never between you and God. Oh, my dear friends, may I say this to you again? If the gift is just between you and God, or the gift is just for you and for your self-enjoyment, please forget about it. It won't do you any good. It will only raise your pride. And that's why no Christian should ever say, I'm good for nothing, or I cannot contribute anything. No, nobody should come before the Lord empty-handed. God has gifted us. He wants us to exercise our gift for His glory. Look around, even in this time of pandemic, lockdown, look around you. There are so many gifts. What can I do? What can I do to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can I do in a limited way to the community? Can I call someone? Can I send an email to someone? There are many needs we can help with. And that's why we have to fructify our gift. Otherwise, it will be taken away from us and given to someone else. Oh, my dear friends, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever has a gift or a talent and buries it and do not fructify it, that person is a wicked servant. I don't want to be a wicked servant. Whatever the Lord has given to me, I want to develop it. I want to fructify it for his glory. Joy, motivation, blessing, all these things come. How do they come? How do they increase? How do they advance? When I serve the Lord. You need motivation. You need joy. You need the blessing of the Lord. Do something with the gift God has given to you. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing Peter puts before us in verse 11, he said there, do it with the ability which God giveth. Do it with the ability. As a good steward, do it with the ability God has given to you. Oh, that's a great promise. With the intensity of our service for the Lord, God will always give equal grace. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever service you are doing for the Lord, oh, sometimes I know we are exhausted, we are so tired, we are overwhelmed, but every gift, every service God gives you, He will also give you the ability required for that gift. That's why the only thing you can do with the gift is to be faithful with it. And my dear friends, if I may suggest, don't fear to make mistakes. We are human. We will make mistakes in exercising our gift, but we want to be faithful in doing it. The emphasis in the Word of God is never about the gift or the gifted ones. The emphasis, you know, the emphasis is on what? The emphasis is upon the service we render because of the gift given to us. That's wonderful, I believe. So no need for a formal title to serve. We are to sharpen our gifts. We are to sharpen our talents given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, refined and strengthened at conversion. My dear friends, we cannot solve the problems of this world. We cannot win a single soul with our own abilities, with our own strength. We need the ability of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was just up to us to bring revival or to change the world, you know what will happen? We will be crushed. We will go through a burnout, and it will be the end with us. But that's why we ask and we pray for His enabling. Oh Lord, enable us daily, individually, collectively, in our prayers. Help us. Do you have a sermon to prepare? Do you have a Sunday school lesson to prepare? Do you have an outreach to do? Do you have a witnessing ministry? Oh, take every one of those things so seriously. God will give you the ability. The ability is from God. That's why our motto is to be faithful unto the end. Faithful unto the end. You know what is a good steward? Is a faithful steward. A good steward is really a servant. A servant of what does not belong to him. A servant of something that belongs to his master. What do you expect from a servant? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Faithfulness. He must be faithful. And faithfulness is not just to sit and say, I'm faithful, waiting the Lord to work. No, I put hands on and I exercise my gift, and the Lord will bless the work He has put in my hands. Faithful unto the end. That's the calling of each one of us. What do you expect from a steward? What do you expect from a deacon? What do you expect from a minister? What do you expect from a steward? He must be reliable. He must be dependable. He must be accountable. Oh, my dear friends, before I move to the next ones, it is important. I will just mention it, just a scratch on these things. You know, there are four gift lists in the New Testament, four of them. The first one, we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The second one in Romans chapter 12. The third one in Ephesians chapter 4. And here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. But you see, there are similarities and differences between the four lists. But no list is really exhaustive. That's why we need to compare all of them together. But if you put them together, when you put them together, you will find that they all fall into two categories, or they all fall into two branches. What are those two branches? All the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible can be summarized into two. They are about saying something or doing something. It is about the word and it is about the work. You see how the word doctrine, teaching, and again practicality, they all go together in our Christian life. My dear friends, any gift that do not speak or do not serve, serves for nothing. But look at them. I want just before to expand a bit on the speaking gift and the doing gift here. They are given to us, both of them, in verse 11. And in verse 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So that's the first one. If any man speak, that's say something. You have to say something. Oh, I must read for you Colossians chapter 3. I didn't plan this, but it's wonderful to be reminded of that great exhortation given to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, in your hearts to the Lord. How do we speak? By communicating. You see, he says the oracles of God. Actually, the Greek says the word, logos, loge, the word, the oracles of God. By communicating the word of God in teaching, in preaching, in edifying, with exhortation, with evangelism, with witnessing, with reasoning, with personal encouragement, with admonition. That's speaking, if any man speak. My dear friends, I hope I will convince you of this again. The word is everything. The word is everything and it does it all. It does it all. We don't need to add anything to it. But remember, it's not all about speaking. It's not all about words. Oh, speak the divine truth. Not your word, but the word of God to edify, because the saints are edified and equipped through preaching. Speaking is never to draw attention on the preacher. It's never to draw attention on the oratory of the preacher. It's never to draw attention on the eloquence of the speaker. Oh, my dear friends, you know, every word we speak, every testimony we give, every witness we give is never to draw attention upon ourselves, but to draw attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, to draw attention on his word, on his inspired word given to us. We need as much grace to speak as to serve, because speaking is also serving when we speak the word of God. But the second aspect of the two classes of gifts given to us in the word of God, it's not only say something, but do something. And in verse 11, Peter says, if any man ministers, it's the word deacon there, if any man diaconize, so if any man serves, if any man minister, my dear friends, our service for the Lord shows our thankful heart, because we are so indebted. He has done so much for us. It is a thankful answer to God's love in our lives. We are deacons to one another. We are all ministers to minister to all. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Blessed is the servant that his master finds doing his will. He also said, the great among you, who is the great among you or among us, is the one serving others. And when we serve others, it is as if Christ was doing it through us. My brother, my sister, stir up the gift God has given to you. Do not neglect it. And remember the rule. It is a simple rule. You will always serve whom or what you love the most. Who do you love the most? What do you love the most? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I come to the sixth one, but please, maybe I have lost you somewhere. Oh, the first thing we said, every Christian has a gift. Every Christian is given a gift. The second is that all gifts are directly from God. The third thing, the gifts that are given to us are diverse. They are manifold of God's grace. The fourth thing, we have to minister. We have to exercise. Hands on, then we will know what kind of gift God has given to us. And the fifth thing, as we said, is God will give us the ability we need. He's the provider. He gives us sufficient provision. Whatever trial you are going through, even now, God will give equal grace so that you will be able to go through it. And in the gifts God has given to us, they are of two kinds. Saying something or doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can compare later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 gifts are given to us there. Each one of them is either a speaking gift or a doing gift. We cannot separate them. We speak, but also we do something for the Lord. But look at the sixth heading Peter gives us here in verse 11, where he says, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The doxology is given to us there. Whatever we do in being sober, in being watchful, in being prayerful, in being hospitable, in being loving, in being caring, in speaking, in doing, whatever we do it to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for His glory. Oh, my friends, before I close, do you see? It is God's gift. It is His ability. We are only stewards. We have received all things by grace. And it is Him who capacitates you and me. So at the end of the day, this is so humbling. There is nothing to be proud of. Oh, I hope you see that you are not so special and I'm not so special. Glory be to God is our battle cry. We give Him glory by serving people, not by neglecting people or by feeling better than other people. But one last thing here. In the doxology, Peter says that God in all things might be glorified. Through the church? No. Through the gifted ones? No. Through Jesus Christ. It is Him. Everything is through Him, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Oh, my dear friends, we only receive, everything we do is only accepted and received by God through Jesus Christ. But the last thing I put before you, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And my last heading is that word. Please do not neglect that word. It is so precious. Amen. It means what? This is the certainty. This is the confirmation. This is the agreement. We agree with what God has said. This is our approval of what God has said in His word. So it is. So be it. It is so. Let it be so. Amen means this is true. And it means for God's people. We heard it. We understood it. Oh Lord, help us. We are going to obey. My dear friends, the deaconship of all believers. What did you get from the Lord? Every Christian has a gift. All gifts are directly from God. There are many kinds, many, many diverse kinds of gifts given for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gift given to us, we have to exercise it to glorify God. The fifth thing, God gives us the ability in saying something, in doing something. But every gift we have, it is for His glory. And God is going to approve what we do because He has promised to be with us every day. So may the Lord be with us in all what we do for His glory. Let's close our time together by singing a hymn of really dedication, hymn number 468. It is also